Thank you for joining us for another Super is Natural in the Kingdom of God with Corey Pritchard, where our goal is to help you assimilate into God's kingdom so that super can become natural in your everyday life. And we're going to continue. And what we've been doing is going through these last three messages have been something I've entitled Faith That Draws and Drives. And again, that's faith that draws and drives. And this will be number four of that. And again, by recommendation from a good friend of mine, I began to entitle some of these episodes. So if you haven't, then I always have to say, I encourage that you go back and actually listen to the previous recording. So if it is a case where you're just now listening to this in part number four of the Faith That Draws and Drives, then go back, look for the first one, listen to them in order. Again, they build on each other. If you haven't, you know, listen to the earlier recordings, I absolutely encourage that you listen to those. So where we are right now, just to make sure that we bring each other right on the same page, is that I really have a desire for the doctrines of Jesus Christ. So if I'm going to put that in a way that maybe would make it so it's easier to understand, then all of us are governed by doctrines, whether we want to realize it or not. And this is not a religious term. Obviously, people use it in religion. But the reality is that all of our lives are governed by doctrines. It could be doctrines that your mom or dad or grandparent gave to you, right? Teachings, lessons, opinions that form and frame everything as far as life goes. It could be teachers. It could be rappers, right? To be honest with you, it could be politicians. It could be people that you follow on webinars and podcasts, maybe like this. So the reality is, when we deal with Jesus Christ specifically, I truly believe that Jesus Christ was an actual man that walked the earth. I believe that he absolutely was a son of God. That is an expression of God's love, is that he packed himself in the flesh body, right? In his son, this is the only begotten son of God. I believe that this is the case where God could have done anything else, but chose to give his only begotten son to express and show his great love for humanity. Not that we deserve it, not that we earn it, but that's what he did, because God is love. So Jesus Christ coming into the earth is like the, so when we want to celebrate Christmas, it is a sad tragedy that we really have no idea what we're celebrating. Even if the day that we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ is not the exact day that Jesus Christ was born, understand that this is a celebration for all of humanity and all of creation. Something happened that never was happening, but that never happened before. And this great anticipation was building from the time that the earth was founded, that this king would come. Right. That this son would come, this Messiah would come, our solution would actually come. So Jesus Christ coming is a huge deal, may not be much more of a bigger deal ever in history. So when God decided to send his son, Jesus Christ, in him, he is saying exactly what he wanted to say. Right. So I know that we have Bible texts, we have scriptures that have been given to us from prophets and wise men and different people that were inspired by the Spirit of God, right? And we have those archived and they're passed down to us, and I'm so thankful. But I'm telling you that Jesus Christ is the language of God, right? So God couldn't speak in his direct language the way he wanted to be able to communicate. No man was high enough to truly be able to do that. So what we're getting is snippets and bites, right, and different things to be able to get it to us that the king is coming, right, that the image is coming, the express image of God is coming. So when I look at Jesus Christ, I do not put Jesus Christ, me personally, on the same level as anyone else. It doesn't make any sense for me to do that, okay? So Jesus Christ had a doctrine. So when we're looking at this, then I would like for you to wrap your own self around that to determine if you believe that or not. Do you believe that Jesus Christ had a perception? He had a teaching. He had a doctrine, and he is teaching in that, right? Why is that so vital? He came in a time where we have these religious people, these Sadducees, Pharisees, scribes, all of whoever it was, religious leaders. They represented to the religious order of that day. And these men believed that they were it, right? They believed that they were the highest perfect example, right, of what God wanted in the earth. And Jesus Christ came as a completely different model and contrary to their image, right? Not only did he look different and move different, his doctrines were different, right? He is using the same Torah, the same Bible text, the same text, right? Same holy text, yet he has a completely different perspective. And that's what blew their mind, right? It wasn't the scriptures that he was quoting. It was the doctrines that he was sharing, right? So when I'm saying that this area that we're in dealing with super is natural with the kingdom of God, as I began to see through the lenses of Jesus Christ, then some super things should start to happen in my life. Now, what we want is something miraculous to come down from the sky, which it could. We want to see some great signs and wonders that make us ooh and ah, wish that can happen. But what we should understand is some of the most miraculous things that can ever happen in our lives happens on the inside of us, right? Thank God for all the external things that can happen, but the reality that you can become a completely different person on the inside, right? Not only do you not do it, but how wonderful is it to get to a place where you don't want to anymore, right? You don't want to cuss the person out that you know deserves it, right? You don't want to get back at that person, right? You're not trying to figure out a way to get them. You have beautiful women, if you're a man, that surround you, but you don't see them as a sexual, right, a thing or way to be able to get satisfaction for yourself. Like, not that you're trying not to see them that way, but you don't see them that way, right? To be around great sums of money and you don't have any temptation to do anything deceitful with that money, to try to steal it or to try to manipulate the situation so more of it comes to you than you deserve. These are the things that I want to make sure we're clear about. So these are super things. To have a murderer not want to murder anymore, not just that he don't, but that he doesn't want to murder anymore. To have a liar that doesn't want to lie anymore, has no desire to lie and becomes something brand new, that is a miraculous thing. So looking at faith through the lenses of Jesus Christ is a vital thing. Looking at everything, we're just taking this small step in this direction to do what I believe that God wants us to do, right? To take on this image of Jesus Christ, take on this perspective of Jesus Christ, and to be able to adopt these doctrines, right? So if we are sharing the words in the Bible that God has given to us, it should be within the doctrines of Jesus Christ, right? We shouldn't be like those Sadducees and Pharisees and scribes who are using the words of God for their own benefit, right? Not sharing them within the doctrines of God, right? Outside of those. And that's a tragic thing, right? And I don't want to be guilty of that anymore. I've been guilty of that for some time, and I just don't want that, right? So just in transparency, this is a really great place for you not to just learn from me, but to learn with me, right? We're learning together, and not just to have information. This is a class, right? Look at it like a boot camp or a training session where you're getting the information, but we should be doing the work and we should be getting into it, and it should show off, right? So imagine if you had a workout situation and you're going for 6 months or a year. I would have to say, you know, you want somebody to be able to notice that you're losing weight, that you're gaining muscle, right? That you just look better. But I'm saying, like, if you've been doing that for 6 months to a year, 2-3 years, and there's no visible outward, notice or signs, I'd say maybe something's not working. It's not doing what it should. So I don't want that to be the case for the time that we spend together, that you're investing. So we're going to pick up, and this is part number 4. And what we did in the last session was we finished out in Mark chapter 11. And beginning, I believe, in right around verse number 22, and I pulled out 10 principles, right? You may have pulled out 8 or 6 or 5 or 10 or 11 or 12, but the reality is those are the 10 that I pulled out. And I am asking that you make time, meditate on those, ask God to allow you to help to prove those first, but to apply those in our lives so that we can have faith work the way that God intended for it to work, because we should be moving mountains, right? We should have great, wonderful things that are happening, not just for us, but for other people. And that should happen for God's glory. OK, so getting into part number four, now we're going to see why the title makes sense, right? All the last three sessions were to do is just to build to this. And there's a reason why I specifically chose the title, The Faith, or Faith That Draws and Drives. Okay, so we're going to see that. So what we're going to do is we're going to pick up right here in Matthew chapter number 9, verses 14 through 33. Okay, and what I've been doing is, again, just following right into the, in the Bible concordance. So if you are looking at a track and a way to try to get ahead of some of this, you can go right out to a Bible concordance, put in faith, and you can see, right, I'm looking specifically at what Jesus Christ is establishing in faith. What is he saying, right? What is he teaching? And that's what we're focusing on. So we're going to get right into this. So beginning at verse number 14, again, Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, it reads, "Then came to him the disciples of John, saying, Why do we and the Pharisees fast off, but thy disciples fast not? And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bride chamber mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they fast. No man putteth a piece of new cloth unto an old garment, for that which is put in to fill it up taketh from the garment, and the rent is made worse. Neither do men put new wine into old bottles, else the bottles break and the wine runneth out, and the bottles perish, but they put new wine into new bottles, and both are preserved." So my note is that tradition could hinder your growth and development in God's kingdom. Okay, so this is a really good place to make a note. So I'm making notes for myself, but I'm saying that this is a great place, if you're taking notes, that you should take a note here. And again, I said tradition could hinder your growth and development in God's kingdom. So we have been given many traditions that we don't question, some good, some bad, right? But the reality is that is something that is a common, normal practice that we don't question. And oftentimes, some of the most dangerous and harmful things, as we're seeking to come into the kingdom of God, enter in and to know what God has for me and to have those things manifest in our lives, is holding on to wrong traditions, right? Traditions that could be religious traditions, it could be cultural traditions, right? Any of those traditions that are contrary to what God wants for us, it can be a great hindrance. So the kingdom of God rarely fits into old traditional expectations for God and his will, right? We got to get this. It is a law in God's kingdom that the container must be made new by God. So pay attention to that, okay? The new cloth provided by God must be put on the new garment provided by God. You see that? So God provides both, okay? And new wine is the only wine that should be served in God's kingdom, okay? So I hope you're tracking with me. So I'm asking, what is the new wine? Okay, so I'm suggesting it could be a number of things, but I truly believe that in context and what Jesus Christ is sharing and teaching right here in this space, it's his message, right? So the message of Jesus, right? His preaching, right? His teaching, doctrines, laws, judgments, and commandments. This is our new wine that cannot survive under old conditions, okay? So again, when I'm seeking to see faith through the lenses of Jesus Christ, then what I'm really praying, God, help me to put my feet into the shoes of Jesus Christ. I want to step in his shoes. I want to put on the lenses, right? The glasses that Jesus Christ is seeing through, and I want to be able to see. So Jesus Christ is sharing something that we've never heard before. You won't find it anywhere in the Bible. So these are truths that come uniquely through Jesus Christ. And he's saying to his disciples, listen, right? I get it. You are Hebrew Israelite people. You grew up under this religious Jewish tradition, right? All the things that come with that tradition. He's saying, if you want to enter into the kingdom of God, if you want these benefits to manifest in your life, if you want the inheritance that your father has provided for you, he's saying that this is something you must understand. See the image, right? Get the picture. Is that you're not going to be able to have an old cloth and try to put this new cloth or piece of cloth fabric on it and thinking that you're going to repair that old thing, right? Them old religious traditions, them old religious ways that broke down, they busted and disgusted, all of that. And then you're going to try to take this new piece that God has provided in Jesus Christ, and you're going to try to sew it on that old broke down thing and think that it's going to work, right? He said, listen, it's not going to work. What's going to happen is they're both going to be destroyed, right? That's not going to work, okay? So when we're dealing with the kingdom of God specifically, I would like to be able to tell you that it may fit nicely in your religious ideas and doctrines, but I'd be lying. I would like to tell you that it may fit within your traditions, but again, I would be lying because that would be contrary to what Jesus Christ is sharing. He's saying, understand this reality. My son, right? Jesus Christ is sharing this, but he's saying, I have been sent by my father to bring new wine, right? For my thirsty children, right? So God the Father sent a new wine for his thirsty children. And he's saying that you're not going to be able to try to take this new wine and put it into that old bottle and think that it's going to work. He said, listen, that's not going to work. Those doctrines, those traditions, those rituals, listen, that's not going to work. What's going to happen is this new wine is going to destroy that old tradition. That's what he says. And what we find is people trying to make this thing work, trying to seam it together, right? Sew it together, trying to keep pouring this new wine into old wine skins. Listen, it doesn't work. It just doesn't work. So I'm suggesting for you that you consider what Jesus Christ is saying and what he's establishing. Okay. So continuing on in verse number 18, while he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshiped him, saying, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand upon her, and she shall live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. I'm going to repeat it again because I want to make sure that I say it. So when we get into some of these notes, that you have that ringing, registering in your mind. But pay attention. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler. Do you see that? Certain ruler and worshiped him, talking about Jesus. And the ruler said, my daughter is even now dead, but come and lay your hands upon her and she will live. And Jesus arose and followed him, and so did his disciples. Okay, so here's my note. I'm asking you to pay close attention to the statement of faith. Okay, so again, if you're making notes, please make a note. You are in class learning from Jesus Christ, who is our rabbi, right? That's what this is. Open doors, right? And you're not going to get it without the help of the Spirit of God, right? I'm not going to get it, right? Again, I'm not just asking you to learn. I'm asking and inviting you to learn with me, right? As I continue to learn, right? So we're learning this. So again, I'm saying, look at this statement of faith, okay, that is provided by this man, because he had faith in God. Do you see that? And remember, that's number one. That's the reason why we led with the foundation. Have faith in God. But this man showed or demonstrated his faith in God. he had faith in Jesus and he had faith in his ability. Okay, do you see that? So it's a powerful thing to be able to see how important it is for this man to come with his own faith, right? When I'm suggesting have faith in your faith, right? Have faith in God. Now we see that this gentleman, because he has faith in his faith, because he has faith in God, he sees God in Jesus or sees Jesus Christ as God. So it just makes sense for him to have faith in Jesus and his ability. Do you see that? So the ruler, which I put in parentheses, high. So when you see a term like that that identifies a person's position, then this is a person who has authority, who has rulership, who is above other men. So when they say ruler, then it is sharing with us that normally this gentleman would be considered to be high and people would be looking up to him, right? Do you see that? But when we see this ruler, look at how he responds to authority, right? It's a correct position. So sometimes we don't understand how important it is to understand how do you function in the presence of authority. Yes, you have authority, but sometimes the authority that we have is not functioning the way that it should because we haven't observed the presence of authority, right? In Jesus Christ, in God the Father, with the Spirit of God, right? Does that make sense? So the ruler, high, had to humble himself and come low in the presence of the king. This is such a huge principle, right? Understanding no matter how high you think you are, no matter how big and bad you think you are, we are still small and low in comparison to our Father, okay? So the ruler recognizes right away that even though he normally could be looking at himself as being high, he understands how authority works. So he brings himself low in the presence of the King Jesus Christ, and he humbles himself right in the presence of the King. So this is amazing because I don't know if this person was actually a Hebrew Israelite. So I really believe that this ruler probably was not. And it's sad to have a person who is not a Hebrew Israelite, probably not even a Jew of that Jewish religion, that he recognizes Jesus Christ because he recognizes authority, right? Because he is always in the presence of authority. He's always having people who are in the presence of his authority, so he recognizes authority, right? Does that make sense? So the man, faith was the driver, okay? So again, this is entitled Faith That Draws and Drives. This is very clear, okay? Because the story that we would say is that Jesus's faith is driving, right? Jesus's faith is dictating. But when you look at the way that Jesus Christ is actually sharing this, the reality is he's sharing that it's the ruler's faith that's driving. It's this man's faith that has taken the steering wheel and is driving to the point where he tells Jesus Christ what he has seen Jesus Christ doing. He didn't ask Jesus. He said, listen, I know that this has happened, right? She's dead. Right now, I don't know if you would be able to do that. I don't know if I'd be able to do that to see your daughter dead, lifeless, without breath, spirit gone, possibly pale, right? Not knowing whatever signs, atrophy could have set in. We don't know what that actually looked like as far as death happening. That had already happened. That's a fact. Isn't that crazy? So he brings this fact to the truth, which is Jesus Christ. And he says, listen, truth, here's the fact. The fact is my daughter's dead, but because I recognize your authority, I'm speaking to the truth about this fact. And I'm saying that I'm going to take the steering wheel and we driving. And what's going to happen is, even though the fact has shown up that she's dead, that you are going to come lay hands on her and she's going to live. Isn't that crazy? Like, so this is the perspective that I want to be able to share. I'm not telling you I'm there. I'm not telling you that I've arrived. I am praying to God every single day that my faith will match this type of faith, right? That without question, I will see things no matter what. Again, in the presence of death. Listen, we're not talking about his daughter being sick. She coughing, she sneezing, she's throwing up, right? She's passing out. She got a fever. She's got whatever symptoms going on. We're not talking about in that space and time, because many of us, we have a hard time with a sniffle or a cough, right? Or any little small thing, not to be able to immediately think about death, right? We have so great faith in death that we don't even doubt its authority. We don't even question, right? Because we've heard about whatever it is that took this person out, because we've seen it before, right? Because I can't see an end that's going to work out for me. I can't see an end that's going to work out for the person or whatever it is. Then the reality is we have this great faith in death that we've demonstrated. But the sad reality is that often, even though we've confessed that Jesus Christ is Lord, we say he's our rabbi, we say that we're his disciples, right? We say we love him, we love God, right? We say we do all of those things, but how quickly that faith crumbles? How quickly do we turn away from God and show that we have faith in many other things, including death? Far more faith in it than we do in God. So I love this man's demonstration, because he showed that he had more faith in God. He showed that he had more faith in Jesus Christ and his ability. He had more faith in the kingdom of God than he did in death. He said, no, I don't got no faith in death. How do you not have faith in death when death has taken out everybody, right? But he showed he didn't have faith in it. He had faith in God. And I want us to be able to, again, to get the picture of what it is that's happening here, right? So the man's faith is driving. Do you see that? He acknowledged that she was dead, but was unmoved, huh? Like, he acknowledged, yes, she's dead, but he was unmoved, right? So his faith decided that if Jesus Christ would lay hands on his daughter, then she would live. Do you see that? He decided, he made a decision. Faith is a decision. Belief is a decision. Does that make sense? So he had to make the decision that his daughter would live if Jesus Christ lay hands on her. Isn't that amazing, right? Faith driving, right? And not only is it driving, this faith is driving at a high speed because this man has no doubt in his heart. He is completely convinced that this is going to happen for his daughter, right? It was the man's faith that drove. How did Jesus Christ and his disciples respond? Right now, this is what I'm saying, right? It's powerful, man. It really is something that absolutely blows my mind. So take a moment and ponder and get the image of this man coming to Jesus Christ, right? I'm pretty sure he was well-dressed. He could have had his official garments on, whatever that is. It represented his high authority. He's coming to Jesus Christ, yet he humbles himself, brings himself low. He makes a statement of faith telling Jesus Christ, my daughter is dead, but if you lay hands on her, then she will live. And it says that they immediately, him, Jesus Christ, and his disciples, that they immediately turned and went with him, right? Isn't that a wonderful thing? So we're going to pause right with this one, right? In number four, because I want to make sure that I'm not going to open anything, that I'm not going to be able to close. But I'm suggesting, again, if you haven't done this, go out, register for Kingdom Curriculum, go out to victoryinthekingdomofgod.com. It's a button there. It's easy to find. Click on that. Put your registration information in. Just a few simple things, right? Not asking really for anything. And commit to getting into that, right? These little snippets that we have, it's not going to be enough to provide the life change that you need. Even in the Kingdom curriculum, right? Even though I've done what I could do to try to make that stuff as plain as I could and share what I knew at that time, then it's still not going to be high enough. All this is supposed to do and all that's supposed to do is direct you into the feet of the king, right? In the path of the king, right? It's supposed to help us to be able to see what Jesus Christ has established, because I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how long you've been reading the Bible. Once you truly allow God to be able to see it through the lens of Jesus Christ, you're going to be like, man, how did I miss such a simple thing, right? How would I miss such great and wonderful things? And you're asking God to allow this to happen in my life, right? And you're coming asking to be governed by the kingdom of God and allowing God to govern your life. So this has been great. Again, this is another super is natural in the kingdom of God. Again, our goal is to help you assimilate or us assimilate into the kingdom of God so that super can become natural in our everyday lives. Have a great evening.